You're listening to Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Dive into the world of mobile gaming with us as we explore the latest trends and discuss best practices.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mobilize and Monetize podcast. And today I am so excited because it's actually a Gamesform podcast. Joining me is Josh Vowles, the man, the myth, legend. You know him well, head of product, of course, here at Gamesform. Great to have you, Josh, for our first ever podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's odd to be on this side of it.
I know. So obviously today, the title is a bit of a giveaway, but we're going to be diving into all the sort of nuts and bolts of the latest Gamesform Intelligence report written by Josh, of course, and that is Top Mobile Games Challenges, a User Acquisition, Ad, and Product Monetization Report. So Josh, kicking things off, maybe you want to talk a little bit about what the report was actually based on, but after you do that, what were some of the most significant challenges for each of the three parts of user acquisition, ad monetization, and product that were highlighted in the report?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, it's probably a good chat to give a bit of context as well for it. So I've done a few of these reports in the past, mostly focusing on UA and ad monetization. One previously in this spring of 2024, and then in 2023 as well. The way the reports are collected ultimately is I will speak to 25 UA managers, 25 ad managers, 25 product managers on calls, get a bit of a feeling for what some of their greatest challenges are. I will then take what they feedback to me essentially and put that into kind of a massive spreadsheet and come up with 10 of the top challenges for each of those sectors. From there, we put those top 10 challenges into surveys and send them out to the Gamesform audience. To ask them to rank the challenges based on their personal experience. So the idea being that we kind of take what we've learned from the research calls, take it that step further and get as many responses as possible. For UA, we had over 120, app one over 100, and for products, we had 80, or just over 80, I should say.
Right.
It's the first time we've done all three of them together as well. So it's cool to be able to share such like a broad range of data, especially as these three areas of mobile gaming come ever closer and closer together.
Right. And what were some of the most significant challenges for each of the three parts? What really stood out in the report?
I mean, I think the interesting thing we'll kind of talk a little about in a bit as well is how the report has compared to the previous years. Even 6 months ago, the 2024 earlier report, challenges surrounding creative marketing, about ad quality and app health as well, they were coming up as the top challenges for both UA and ad mod managers. This time, things are looking a little bit differently. If you take UA, the top challenge is sort of the idea of performing in a crowded market space. It's no secret that releasing a game has ultimately never been easier, but actually monetizing it, actually acquiring users for it, it's so hard now. And with the sort of fall of hyper casual in particular, the way that people are not only making games, but the way you market it, the way you retain players, the way you monetize those players, that now has to move as well. I think that's kind of reflected with the top ad mod challenges as well, which is looking at, you know, developing an effective user segmentation strategy, looking at how you can, create the best ad experiences for your players, but also ensure that those that do pay, they receive a relevant ad placement experience or ad monetization strategy for them. And then those non-payers as well, they're getting a correct balance of ads too, and in the best, in the best places.
Interesting stuff. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, and then I think just to tie in the live ops development and assessing ROI, it kind of feeds back again to the way that games are being made now, the need to kind of constantly update your titles, keep them fresh, keep them innovative, but also replicate that on your store pages, in your featuring. Making sure that for those players that you do want to retain, you're offering them new, fresh content they're going to want to come back for.
So ad quality, it's talked about a lot through the industry, and particularly in this report, I noticed it mentioned quite a few times. So it remains a significant concern, to say the least. How has the perception and impact of bad ad quality shifted since the previous editions that you've written?
I think it's shifted a lot. It's shifted in particular since sort of spring of this year when I released the last report. But looking at 2025, the way it's been broken down slightly differently from past reports is tackling bad ad quality is still there as a challenge. It's present as a standalone challenge. But if you take a look at some of the other challenges that appear in ad monetization managers, you know, top five challenges, we have one looking at leveraging ads to heighten the user experience, and another really looking at how you can optimize ad placements and frequency as well.
Right.
So even though it's not necessarily talking directly about ad quality, it's talking about, the experience the user is having when looking at these ads or being shown these ads ultimately.
Yeah.
But also when it comes to those non-payers, how can you optimize their frequency with which they see ads? You don't want them to churn ultimately now. So how can we kind of hit that sweet spot, I suppose?
Right.
I guess talk about it in a bit of sort of data as well. In 2024, so in the last report in the spring, 20% of respondents placed ad quality as their number one challenge. And likewise, in 2023, when I did this report on that one as well, only 13% of respondents did so, having it as sort of their greatest challenge, the one that ranked most frequently as the number one challenge amongst all respondents. In 2025, in this report, it's only been held there by 7% of respondents. So it has declined, not just an aggregate score, but in terms of how respondents perceive it as the number one challenge. It's still there, sure, but it's not maybe the primary challenge it once was. And I think in the report as well, Felix from 2.5 Gamers, he sort of said that ultimately bad ads equal network margins. So there is incentive there, especially for publicly listed companies.
Right. It's interesting to see how the perceptions change as well within such a relatively short time. So I want to move on to creative marketing. Where does creative marketing sort of rank in this report compared to the previous two? And how are companies adapting their strategies to address the challenges from what you saw, in the report that you wrote?
I think it's interesting. I think I like ad quality. It's one of those challenges that has shifted a lot in the past 6 months, in the past 2 years as well. If you look at table five in the report in particular, you can see a side-by-side comparison of how the challenge of creative marketing, be it ideation, be it testing, how it has ranked across the last 3 years, the last three reports we've done. It is still ultimately a challenge for ad managers, for UA managers. But again, it is more, there's more of an onus placed on it as one of the, third or fourth challenges. It's not the greatest challenge, but it is still there. It's still persistent, I suppose.
Right.
In both 2023 and 2024, UA managers held it as their greatest challenge, with a clear aggregate score above all of the other challenges for those two reports. And in 2023, a quarter of respondents placed it as their greatest challenge as well. This year in 2025, or in this report, I should say, only 11% of respondents did this. So it's definitely still there. It's just, again, it's kind of become a bit of a lower priority for respondents.
Interesting. And what about live ops? In the report, live ops is highlighted as a major challenge for game studios. What makes live ops so difficult to get right? From what you've seen in the report, I mean, it ranked as a major challenge. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think live operations is an interesting one. And I kind of mentioned a bit on the top as well about how, it's perceived in the industry. I think it's always been there, don't get me wrong. But I think in this new sort of era where companies, like I said, are sort of looking to retain players more and more, they're looking to monetize players more effectively, keep players playing, but also, keep players coming back to the title as well.
Right.
I think in this report, live ops development and this emphasis on assessing return on investment for live ops. Yeah, it ranks as the greatest challenge for product managers by far. I was actually talking to Stan Minstel this morning from App Magic about live ops, and kind of sort of talks about how in the current market, only one in 100 and 1,000 games will make any kind of traction. And this really speaks to this challenge of live ops ROI. It is a saturated market space, and live ops can mean anything from, just updating the title, or it can mean, creating new content. It can mean featuring your game in different ways. It can mean holiday seasons, with the Christmas coming up soon as well, and
Yeah.
Q4 being one of the busiest time of year for sort of personalization for that as well. I think where people are looking for this new content as well, you also need to look at how much this costs to develop. Creating a live ops strategy, a roadmap with live ops built in, is expensive ultimately. When your game may not see the successes it would have maybe once seen a few years ago. And to achieve such a well-affected ROI and great ROI, I suppose, there needs to be significant investment. And I think that's one thing that will persist for the next year ultimately. And the only way to go about it, I suppose, is by taking risks that are well calculated, risks where KPIs dictate in the roadmap where you can look forward to move forward with live ops. Okay, maybe as well, where things have gone wrong and where you can, improvise is the best way to put it. And I think both Marion and Akem in the report, they both commented on this, saying that there is now a need to take risks. There's also a need to build this into your process. It can no longer be an afterthought. You need to think about it strategically from the start.
Right. Interesting stuff. So last question for you here, Josh. How are monetization and retention challenges interconnected from what you've seen in the report that you've written? And what new trends are emerging to address these sort of dual priorities?
Yeah, I think it's two words that I guess I try to avoid from most of this interview so far, or this podcast so far. I think it's this idea of sustainable growth, both on the UA challenge.
Gotta be said at least once.
Yeah, definitely. It's one thing that's coming up in pretty much every call I have at the moment, both on the UA and the product side of the report. This idea of achieving sustainable growth through retention, ultimately, it's been one of the most frequent talking points. So how do monetization and retention tie in? I think more than anything else, monetization challenges sort of in a drive for a more hybridly monetized titles, you know, titles with a balanced game economy. You need proper effective data segmentation. You need to maximize the payer and non-payer monetization potential. You need to look at how you can leverage live ops, but also personalization within live ops to really create game experiences that are unique and going to keep players coming back. Again, this takes investment, this takes time, but I think it's such a big investment to really drive this need now for sustainable growth. Gone are the days where you could churn players after a few days. You need to be looking beyond day 7, looking beyond day 30 even. And I think even if you take a look at sort of one of the greatest, I don't want to call it a UA hack, but one of the greatest UA networks of recent months has been rewarded.
Yeah.
Even with this now, there is now a need to look at, okay, you get these highly engaged, high LTV players in your titles. How can you move forward with them? How can you monetize them properly? How can you keep them playing beyond that sort of that payback window, beyond that idea that they have their rewards that they signed up to through whatever reward network they came on board through? And again, that requires data segmentation, that requires live ops, that requires hybrid monetization. It's all a big part of a puzzle now. It takes the right team to put it together. And I think that's why, again, not to plug Barcelona too much, but I think looking ahead to Barcelona, all of these topics and more are talked about, including looking at how you build a marketing team in 2025. I think it's fundamental as a conversation now, because times have changed. There's a need to be deeply analytical, but also creative. There's a need to be deeply technical with your ad monetization stack, but also be almost a designer looking at ad placements. The industry has changed. These roles have changed fundamentally. And I think to look at, 2025, 2026 are going to be defining years for free-to-play, I suppose.
Interesting stuff. Well, Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for sort of giving us these gems of knowledge from this brilliant report that you've written. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
No, it's an absolute honor. Thank you for having me. And I definitely urge anyone to download the report. If not for my writing, there are expert speakers who have added their comments and thoughts, which are probably, a little bit better than mine. But it's definitely worth a read.
For everyone listening, we will actually link it within the podcast description as well if you haven't had a chance to read it yet. But that was it for this week's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Until next time, everyone.